Hey, it's did that come right through for you, buddy? Again? Did you hear the beginning of it?
Yeah. I totally heard the beginning of our show.
That's very exciting. And that must mean it's the Context Machine. Then this is episode 667. And I'm Brian Chaffin, your professional host.
Sorry. And I'm Jeff Gamet. On the episode that's the neighbor of the beast. Hey, check us out on our online home, contextmachine.io. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at you.
That's fine. I'm also laughing at the neighbor of the beast. That's funny. Did you make that up just then? Or is that
no? I've used that joke before.
Did you make it up originally?
Well, it was original for me, but other people had made the joke before, and I found out after I had made up the joke. So I cannot take credit for the originator being the originator.
But you made it up independently.
I made it up independently.
That's fantastic. And did you also know that you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine? Did you know that, Jeff?
I did not, but I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes right now, so I know. At Context Machine.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And while I'm taking notes, I'm taking another note because this is a cool note. We're sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs today.
That's excellent. We'll tell you more about them later in the show. And I believe you have a hot date tonight, so we should probably get to it. Do I have the gist of that right?
That's a great summary. Let's get to it.
All right. So I thought that we could talk about the ongoing change in the social media landscape. In particular, there's been a new exodus of people from X due to Elon Musk's buffoonery. And I feel like there have been past exoduses, especially in the world that I mostly inhabit, the writing world. And I feel like a lot of people went to Threads, but I feel like a lot, the people that are leaving X right now this week and this last week have been going to Blue Sky.
Yes. I have been seeing reports that Blue Sky's been getting a bunch of new users and purportedly in response to X making its latest change to when you block an account.
Well, when you quote unquote.
Right. Now we have to use quotes around block an account.
Right.
Right.
So why don't you actually tell us what that change is, just so people know what we're talking about.
So the change is when you have blocked someone on X, no longer does it actually block them from seeing that you are doing anything on X and interacting with you in any way. Now all it does is stop them from interacting with you. So they'll be able to see everything you post. And a lot of people are looking at this like this is a potential security issue, because there's a reason why a lot of people get blocked by certain accounts. Mm-hmm. But Elon is saying, oh no, this is important for transparency.
Right. Which I think really means that it's important for him to keep having his content seen, because his content is elevated by X's quote unquote algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that. But be that as it may, and at the same time, by the way, Threads is about to make it to where you will have an online status that's shown by default. And that's making people a little cranky with Threads. And I certainly get that. I really don't care if people know when I'm online personally, but I can see why people would care.
For me, it's there's nothing that's happened that's ever made me think on any social media platform that I don't want people to know when I'm online. However, if it's a social media platform that can let you see when people are online, I just always go and make sure that setting is turned off.
Right.
And apparently this, I'm guessing this setting on Threads. Has, well, I think that's already off, or maybe it's on Instagram that it's crap. I better go check that later. And I see, this is a problem. How do you keep track of what features and settings you have on each service? But yeah, I'll make sure it's turned off simply because I turn it off everywhere.
Right. Which is certainly, I would probably turn it off too, for whatever that's worth. But again, I don't really care if people know that I'm online. I mean, I do tend to be paranoid about privacy and security, but if I've let someone follow me, I kind of don't care if they know that I'm online.
Yeah, no, I get it.
At least the way I use social media. I mean, I guess if I could possibly care if I wanted to be able to maintain some kind of pretense that I hadn't seen a post or something, but that's not really how I use social media.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Social media is not a critical communication platform for me.
Right. Nor for me. In fact, I've been increasingly consuming content rather than creating content on even Threads. And that's for a variety of reasons. But anyway, so what I thought might be interesting for our listeners is if we talk about our respective approaches to social media and why we're using the platforms that we're using. For us, especially for people who are looking to make a change or, you know, are already in the process of making a change.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And how about if I start off by saying the fact that there's so many people that are jumping from X to Blue Sky right now, it doesn't surprise me, like specifically that they're going to Blue Sky, because that does seem to be, the platform that's gaining a lot of traction.
Yeah. Blue Sky was the first, the first alternative platform that I tried was Mastodon. And I could not get into Mastodon's approach to this concept. And so as I was trying out Blue Sky, I loved the app. I loved the interface, and I loved its approach, but it was essentially comparatively dead at the time. This was going back a couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up trying Threads, and with Threads, the writing community, and in particular the independent writing community, was going gangbusters, and it's still doing really well. So that tended to be where I posted, and I tended to continue to use Blue Sky to consume some political content because I wasn't seeing very much writer traction on Blue Sky. But now I'm starting to see the writers especially the writers who are specifically abandoning X, they seem to be going to Blue Sky right now, and also the same with a lot of political posters. Both of those classes of people seem to be going to Blue Sky right now, this week.
This week. Yeah, I have Blue Sky account. I have Threads, and I tried using Blue Sky.
What are you on those? I forget.
Jay Gamut.
Oh right, Jay Gamut. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just FYI. I'm Geektels. That's TELLS.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm
oh wait, that's you?
Yeah. That's me.
Oh, this changes everything.
Yeah. You can unblock me now.
Can I really?
Oh. You got me mid-drink, man.
Oh, it's all about timing. Yeah. I tried Blue Sky a while ago, and it just wasn't clicking for me. And I tried getting into Threads, and for a little while, and then it just wasn't clicking for me either.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Mastodon is remained your cup of tea.
Yeah, Mastodon, and then I post photos and drawings on Instagram.
Ah, and yeah, right, of course, right.
Yeah, which also cross-posts to Mastodon.
Gotcha. Yeah, through the Fediverse?
Through the magic of If This Then That.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
What the hell do you like about Mastodon? I mean, is it the difficulty in finding people or the weird demarcation between servers? What part appeals to you the most?
is this like when you put someone on the stand and say, "So, when did you stop hitting your wife?" Because there's no way to answer without implicating yourself, even if you're completely innocent.
Something like that. Anyway, I'm obviously being snarky and a jerk, and you know, hello. I mean, you know, nice to meet you. What do you like about Mastodon so much?
For me, I'm not having trouble finding the people I want to follow. Just when Mastodon was a younger service, discoverability was more of a challenge. The demarcation between servers, that's a non-issue.
You say discoverability, like I was, and this is going back years. So mm-hmm. I realized that I'm probably out of date with this, but my big deal was that I couldn't find the people I was looking for, not trying to discover, but it's like, unless I knew the instance of Mastodon that they had registered their account on, I couldn't find them. It was super annoying.
Yeah, that was a thing early on, and it's not like that now. It's much easier to find people. But the point is, you're asking me, why do I like Mastodon?
Yes. Let's pretend that I cared about that. Go.
Right. Yeah. And we're good at acting, pretending like we care. So what it comes down to for me is that I've had good luck finding the people that I want to follow. And discoverability is so much better now. So I have much better luck at finding new people that I want to follow. But one of the big things for me is that there's no curation at all. All I want is chronological feed of every account that I follow, and that's it. And then, like, if I've gone, say, overnight, haven't looked at Mastodon, and maybe it's mid-morning, I'm finally looking, and I have, 1,200 messages or something, or posts. I just jump to the most recent, and maybe I'll look at look back a few, but not all of them. And I'm okay missing out on seeing posts, because for me, it's not a thing about I need to see and know everything that's happening in my feed. It's just when I hop in, I can experience what's there, scroll back a little bit, and see a little bit of what I missed, but then just keep moving forward. So it's the lack of curation. That's a big thing for me.
That's interesting. So Blue Sky is the same way. Blue Sky there's no algorithm determining what you see. They give you tools to create lists, including, by the way, follow lists. You can make they're doing a new starter pack thing. Have you seen that?
No, because I haven't been on Blue Sky for a while.
Okay, so Blue Sky starter packs are basically packs of other Blue Skyers that anyone can put together, and you can choose to basically follow everyone in that starter pack with one click.
Okay, that's clever.
That's
I
very
that could be handy for a lot of people.
Very clever. They also have block lists. So if you subscribe to a block list, when someone gets added to that block list, you'll block them too.
Okay, so like if you never want to hear from people that are always posting about SpaghettiOs,
right? Or people who get blocked by your favorite SpaghettiOs poster. I think that's probably a better way of thinking about it.
Okay. These are the people that I don't want to follow or interact with because of this specific thing. And then you're like, oh, me too.
Yes.
So they've done the work for you.
Yes, they've done the work for you. And both of those have had their uses. I wouldn't subscribe to a block list, I don't think. But I am aggressive with blocking spammers. Anyone who is clearly following me or liking my posts, not because they want to interact with me, but because they're hoping for the return follow, and they're hoping for the return engagement. So in other words, people who put a pretense of engagement for the express or non-express purpose of getting attention for whatever they're spamming and junk posting about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aggressive in blocking those people, and let alone blocking people who are posting things that I personally find offensive. But I wouldn't subscribe to a block list. I would probably follow a starter pack, except for the fact that I already have a problem following all the content of the two lists that I have created. So I've got lists. I've got a political list and a writing list. And I already have, so any writer that I follow goes on my writing list, and I'm probably not going to be adding anyone to my politics list. But my problem is the opposite of what you do. I don't like the fact that I'm seeing everything in chronological order, because that makes it hard for me and my nearish OCD brain to follow everything, to go through and read everything that's happened since the last time I logged in. I like the algorithm. I like the Threads algorithm that is deciding the posts that I am most likely to be interested in. And part of that's probably because I am so aggressive in curating my feed. I do not like, respond to, comment on, or repost any post that I do not want to see more of. And that includes all the engagement bait.
Okay.
I don't like, okay. If there's engagement bait, I do not comment on it. I do not like it. I don't post whining about it, because that will get you that will also get you more of those posts shown. And so I am super aggressive in curating my feed, and my feed is largely what I want to see. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I can appreciate that. And from my perspective, I went to see just what I went to see, and I'm very clear on what I want to see. Right. I just want that chronological timeline. Now, because I'm very particular about who I'm following, that does limit what I'm seeing to the things that I'm interested in or the people that I'm interested in. So in one respect, I'm getting kind of what you're talking about. Although on the other hand, I'm not getting that because it's not curated to show me the things that I am actively showing an interest in.
Right. Well, I mean, how many people are you following on Mastodon?
I have no idea. Like, seriously, I honestly don't know. I really haven't looked that closely.
Well, can you pull it up and check? Because I got a point to my question.
Hold on. I have to launch Instagram. And okay, I'm following 200, not Instagram, Ivory. I'm following 280 people.
Okay, I've got 1530 followers on Threads, which is far more than I ever had on X, by the way. And I'm following
Okay, yep. I'm with you. Sorry.
Following 1210 people because I follow back authors and people who look like they've followed me with good intent.
All right. And that's a totally fair and legit way to use a social platform.
And
yeah,
the idea of seeing every post made by 1200 people, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not even seeing all the posts from 280 people.
How many people follow you, by the way?
Hold on. Let me go back to that view. It was 518.
Okay.
But see, I'm not actively seeking out followers. So, I had no idea how many followers I had.
Fair enough. By the way, you always, dwarfed me in followers, on Twitter back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You're always like three or four times as many as I've got. So I'm going to go ahead and take a victory lap.
Your victory lap.
And that's, yeah. That's not, I want to be clear. That's there are almost assuredly no bots following me because I block those mother pluckers.
Yeah. And I don't have, to the best of my knowledge, any bots following me. But I haven't really had to, have I blocked anything, anyone?
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I've recently, by the way, on Blue Sky, I've been seeing I don't post much on Blue Sky, I think I mentioned. I tend to follow and consume political content on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And in that I haven't been posting much, I'm not expecting any followers. And I've seen a big, big uptick in the last week with bot accounts, with accounts that are looking to prey on people for donations, for porn spammers and things like that. I've seen a large uptick in that on Blue Sky. So, and I think it's probably because they're the people behind those accounts are also coming to Blue Sky as part of the Twitter exodus, or they're trying to increase their reach.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
And so while you were sharing all that, I remembered there's been one account that commented on something of mine on Mastodon where it was obviously a bot account. And so I went to report and block them, but I couldn't because by the time I saw the post and then went to take action, the account had already been killed by whatever server
nice.
It was on.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was cool. But it's okay. So here's the thing for me, Brian. I'm trying to figure out a good way to articulate what you should be looking for, or no, how to choose. No, see, I still can't articulate it. You know, you want to go to a social network. What thing should you be looking for to decide which social network is right for you? And I'm thinking one of the things, just based on what we're talking about, is whether or not you have a curated feed.
Right. And whether or not you want a curated feed. Because I want to be clear. I see a lot of people complaining about their feed on Threads. And I feel pretty... Ichabod feels pretty strongly about this too. I feel pretty strongly...
As does Ichabod.
As does Ichabod. Is that too loud?
It's fine.
Okay. I feel pretty strongly that they're complaining about it because they're reacting to this stuff. So they don't understand that people do not understand that they are the masters of their own feed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were the type to react to engagement bait, to rage bait, you're not going to like a service that has an algorithm that's designed to enrage you.
So in that case, find one that doesn't do algorithms.
Right. And that's probably important for people to keep in mind.
I agree. Yeah. Ask your friends what they're on. Do some Google searches, like which social media platform is most popular for, and then whatever the topic is.
Fair enough. Well, I figure if you pick them on, people know where their friends are by definition, right?
Well, or like the types of people they want to follow. Here's the thing. You use Threads a lot because that's a popular platform for authors.
Yes. For independent authors in particular. Although, again, I'm seeing an uptick in independent authors on Blue Sky.
Sure. Okay. So now you have a couple to choose from. But that's a thing to look for. Find out which social media platform is popular for whatever the topic is. And then maybe look there. So Threads are now Blue Sky for independent authors. If you are big in the WordPress community, like really into that whole communication thing, X is still the popular platform there.
Yeah, there are a lot of writers that are still on X. Have you noticed any kind of exodus amongst the WordPress people?
Since I'm not on X at all anymore, no, I haven't. But I would love to know if there actually is an exodus for WordPress people and which platform they're going to, because I would check out whichever platform that is, just to see what the conversations are, because there's there's a lot going on in the WordPress community, and there's always drama.
Yeah. Yeah, and the crypto and NFT people are still very much on X and very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that I'm not seeing what they're doing anymore.
Yeah. And yeah, if yeah. So I miss out on a lot of the WordPress discussions. But that's okay. Because if it's a discussion that I really need to know about, friends that are in the community are going to send me a private message, a message in iMessages or something,
right?
Or an email, and say, "Holy crap, you totally missed this one," and then give me a quick recap, and so I still hear about the stuff that people think I need to know about.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess that's one way of curating. Just let other people send you messages. OMG, Jeff, did you hear about this thing?
Sure. That's one way. Yes.
Yeah. So apparently that's my way.
All right. Why? I think we have probably accomplished what we wanted to accomplish with this conversation.
I think so. Yeah. I'm okay talking about something else.
Well, let's talk about LinkedIn jobs, right? They're a sponsor this week.
Oh, yes.
And when you are hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours.
Wow.
Yep. So you can hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. And of course, the thing that I like most about LinkedIn Jobs is their dashboard. It puts your candidates, it puts your jobs, it puts your job descriptions, it puts your screening questions, it puts everything at your fingertips, which makes it easier for you to manage the hiring process. And the hiring process tends to suck in general. So any kind of tool that you can use that's going to help you with that process is going to make things better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
Yes, thank you very much for sponsoring us. We appreciate it. Okay, let's see. Let me go back to my notes here. We have a discussion. We're going to talk about dice.
Yeah, I'm rolling for it right now. Yep.
In particular, we're going to talk about the randomness of dice, right?
Yes, and here's what triggered this conversation, everyone. So it's no secret. Brian got me into Dungeons & Dragons.
You're welcome.
And yeah, thank you. Seriously, thank you. And you are currently DMing the game that I'm in with several of our friends, mm-hmm. and having a blast. Mm-hmm. And hopefully. I'm having a blast. Good. So
blast is funny.
From you.
Blast is funny because if that dragon had awoken, blasted is what you would have been.
You know, and before we even got to that dragon, I remember turning to the rest of the party and saying that sound we're hearing, that's a dragon. And I was right.
You were right, as a matter of fact. I was very proud of you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, in my mind, what else could it possibly be?
Fair enough. But you had to figure that out, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, okay. I had to use my deductive reasoning to figure that out right after I was brought back to life. No, I figured that out before I was killed and brought back to life. But the point is, that led to the discussion that you and I had about dice. And I had asked you, we're doing this digitally through Roll20. Do I really need to have my own dice? Right. And you said, oh, you totally should. So I went out.
Because I obsess over dice, of course you should have a set.
Right. And I thought, well, you know, sure, I should have a set. So, you know, there's that sound.
Yes.
Which means your cat running. Can't be far away.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's looking right now like, should I come? But anyhow, so yes, I went and bought dice. And then I'm playing with them on the counter at my place because, of course, I just got dice. I need to roll them. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the D10 I was rolling.
I thought you said it was the D8, but whatever.
Or D8. D8. It was one of the two. Either way, it was a die that had an even number of sides.
So. By the way, do you realize how many your crazy looks I would get back in the day, back in the '80s, with the idea of having an 8-sided die? People would think you were insane. Like, why would you have an 12-sided? What?
Right? Or 4-sided?
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, that's it's just kind of, it's kind of funny. But please go ahead.
Anyhow, so yes. So I'm rolling these dice and the D8. I went through this stretch where it was like 5 times in a row. I rolled a 2. And I found that incredibly funny because we have the running joke in our game that we're doing online that the virtual dice are rigged because, you know, whenever we roll a low number when we really need a high number, you know, the joke is, oh, the dice, they're rigged against us.
But by running joke, you mean paranoid conspiracy theory, right? I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Running joke, paranoid conspiracy theory, potato, potato, you know, yeah, whatever. yeah. So I thought it was incredibly funny that I'm sitting here with brand new dice, just took them out of their little container and started rolling them on the counter and then trying to keep the cat from batting them everywhere because turns out she's really into dice. And I rolled 2, like several times in a row. It was like 5 times in a row.
Which is a crazy streak, to be sure.
Right.
But streaks happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that people who don't understand probability get hung up on. This is true in poker, and it's true in casual observations about the world, and it's certainly true about dice. Streaks happen. You can flip a coin and have it come up heads 5 times in a row. That doesn't mean that your next flip is more likely to be a tail.
Right. Yeah. 50-50 doesn't mean you get a specific result half the time. It means there's of the two chances, there's an equal chance that you'll get that result.
Yes. And a 2 on an 8-sided die 5 times in a row is crazy insane. but it is still a streak. And unless, of course, your dice, your physical dice are actually imbalanced.
All right. Well, hold on. I'm going to get the 8 out of here.
Well, there's probably an easier way to check besides just rolling it.
Well, hold on. We're going to do a couple rolls just because our Foley artist has the sound ready to go.
Okay.
2
Yes.
8
Mm-hmm.
6
Mm-hmm.
1
Mm-hmm.
2 I don't think there's a problem with this. 8
So there is a way to check, though.
Okay.
You could float, if your dice float, you could float your dice.
Then it's a witch?
Yes. But and some resin or plastic dice in particular will probably float. And if they always float to the same number on top, that means that that it's weighted. It's weighted at what is now the bottom of the die.
That makes sense.
And okay. That can apparently happen with some again, especially plastic dice, but maybe some resin dice. My gemstone dice won't float, and neither will my metal dice. And I'm sure that there are ways to accurately weigh whether or not they're truly balanced, or, you know, to the extent of which they're truly balanced. Mm-hmm. But that's what you could do to check, because yours are plastic, right? Or they're resin?
They're resin.
Do you have a glass of water? Does it have ice in it?
No. To both.
Oh. Huh. Really? You don't have a glass of water handy? We're recording.
I have a Nalgene bottle, and if I drop a dye in here, then I've got a problem, because
you can
just fish it out.
You could clean it after the show. I mean, I admit, we could have had you get a glass before we started recording.
Okay, fine. Hold on. I'm opening up my Nalgene bottle, taking out the little splash cap, and dropping the dye in, and it went straight to the bottom.
Okay, well, all right. So I'm so glad.
Oh, the things I do to humor you.
Well, to be fair, I wasn't inconvenienced at all.
Okay, at least there's that.
I'm sorry. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Okay, so it's probably good that it didn't float. So, but anyway, yeah, you're, I mean, it is certainly possible for a die to be imbalanced, so for the manufacturing process to have resulted in some way for the material to be denser in one particular part, for the density not to be evenly distributed, that's certainly mm-hmm. possible. I don't really think that, unless you've got actually weighted dice, like that have been deliberately made to not be random, I don't really think there's much of a chance that a randomly density dispersed dice is going to produce much of a result outside of the mean.
All right, that makes sense. All right. I'm going to share something with you that I learned when I bought this set of dice. Mm-hmm. And just so everyone knows, like, hey, look, transparency here. I went to Atomic Goblin Games, which is in Longmont, Colorado, and really nice people. Like, holy crap. I spent most all my time in that store just chatting with the staff, as mm-hmm. opposed to spending $12 on a set of dice. But they said there are certain games where the numbers on the dice are in a pattern that they call top down. So it's like the numbers spiral down, like say it's a 20-sided die. Mm-hmm. Start at the top and then 1, 2, 3, 4 spiraling down to 20 at the other end. And they said, unless you're playing a game that is supposed to use that type of a die, then whoever you're playing with is cheating. And
fair enough.
And they said the dice where it does that top down thing, it doesn't take that long for someone to develop proficiency in consistently rolling exactly the number they want to see.
Hmm. I have heard that. I haven't looked. I haven't like tried to do it. I haven't tried. I don't even have a set of those dice. But I have heard this warning, and I would probably be ending friendships over anyone who's doing that.
That would be a really crappy thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm right.
Or there's no winner.
So, right. Well, the Dungeon Master is always the winner. The house always wins.
Yeah, fair enough. Yay me.
Yay you. So now I'm curious, why would you have a game where having a type of die where you can learn how to roll it would be appropriate?
I'm not throwing shade here.
It's just like, I don't know.
I am assuming, though, that the mere fact that that was stated means that it's a thing. But I don't know why.
I should have asked them, well, what games use dice like
there's
this?
There's a reason to go back.
Right. And what I need to do is make sure I block a couple hours, because when I go in, we're just going to talk and talk and talk.
What do you think?
I'm not saying that as a complaint.
What do you think your next set of dice will look like?
I don't have the thing that you have where I feel like I need to have all the dice.
That's interesting. What's that like?
It's a lot less expensive. That's what it's like.
I've got some amazing dice.
I have a set of blue dice with gold numbers on them, and it cost me $12. And I think I'm set, because we're not even playing Dungeons and Dragons in a way where I need to have physical dice.
That's true, but you may someday. You never know. You might play live someday. Maybe we'll get together. Maybe we'll have a weekend in Colorado in the middle of the country where we get together and we play D&D live and discover.
I think that sounds fantastic.
And discover why it's always been a good thing that we played remotely.
yeah, this checks out, but it'll be great up to a point.
So we probably are running out of time, but I did want to mention the iPad Mini 7.
Yeah.
Apple released that this week, and I guess its big thing is it's got the A17 Pro processor.
Has the A17 Pro base model comes with 128 gigs instead of 64 gigs for storage, faster USB, and because it's the A17 Pro, it has a better graphics processor system.
It's a significant boost in the processing, and that is specifically aimed at the impending release of Apple Intelligence.
Yes. Oh, here's the other big thing, at least for me. Apple Pencil Pro support.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So I saw a little bit of online speculation that this release, which was done not in a media event, but just a midweek press release, might mean that Apple's not going to do a second media event in October, which is admittedly fast approaching an end to. I don't think that's... I don't think that this device says anything about whether or not we'll get a Mac event this fall.
I agree with you. I think releasing or announcing the new iPad mini with a press release, it's like rolling our dice. Each time we roll it, it doesn't increase the likelihood of something else. So I think for Apple, releasing this iPad with a press release was just Apple releasing this iPad with a press release.
Yeah, if it had been a MacBook Air or Pro or Studio or Mini, yeah, that would be a good argument for saying that Apple's probably not going to do a Mac-centric media event. But I would guess that either the Mini 7 wasn't ready for the previous the iPhone event that we just had, or I mean, really, I think that's probably the case. It just wasn't ready for that week.
It wasn't ready. Okay, yes. I'll go with that. What I was going to say is it wasn't ready or wasn't appropriate for the event, but it doesn't matter because it's the iPhone event was going to be the iPhone event. So had it been ready, it still would have been a press release.
Yeah. I think that Apple's probably only going to do a media event for the release of Apple Intelligence regardless. I don't think they're going to release Apple Intelligence by press release. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And it's looking like that's end of the month when, and someone's going to be like, oh no, there's an official announcement from Apple that you missed, Jeff. What's wrong with you? Which is totally fine. But yeah, end of the month is what I'm hearing for that announcement. So sure, maybe end of the month, Apple says, and here's iOS 18.1 with Apple Intelligence. And here's this great new MacBook Pro and Mac Mini and iMac.
Maybe Mac Studio.
With that. Or Mac Studio. Yeah. So the Mac Studio.
Well, no.
Is that on an M2?
Shoot. I'm going to.
Or did it get an M3? I don't even remember.
I do not think it got the M3.
So. So maybe we're getting a new M4 processor for the Studio.
Well, but we haven't. Maybe
they're waiting for the M5.
The M4 has already been released in the iPad, but we haven't heard anything about an M4 Ultra, or I don't think we've seen a Pro yet, right? Yeah, it's the Studio is still on the M2 Max and Ultra.
Okay.
So I would love to see a new Mac Studio come out, but I don't know. I have zero idea whether or not the M4 Max and M4 Ultra are ready yet.
Yeah. And I tossed out just kind of like whimsically the idea of maybe they'll wait for an M5. But if they're this far into the cycle, maybe they are waiting for an M5. I don't know. But it would be nice to see a new Mac Studio.
Yeah,
with a new processor.
I feel like we're going to get an M4 Mac Studio. It may be spring. But I feel like we're going to get an M4 Mac Studio. That seems a no-brainer.
And what is the Mac Pro running?
Intel? Right?
No.
Are you sure?
Mac there's Pro. No Mac running an Intel processor.
Okay. All right. You're right. It's running the M2 Ultra.
Okay. So but the fact that you're like Intel, that says a lot, not about you, about the product.
Well, it says something, says a little bit about me, but whatever. Whatever.
Okay, yeah, but still. Yeah, the Mac Pro is due for a new processor as well.
My original Mac Studio that's running the M1 Ultra has been an amazing machine.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't missed having a Mac Pro since I went to the iMac
mm-hmm.
a while back. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. You have a nice Mac.
Yeah, yep, I do. So, yay me. All right, yeah, let's see. I think we are done. So let me do this. Did you hear that one again?
I did hear that.
That's so much fun. That's thanks to macOS Tall Trees.
Sequoia. Yeah, at least it's doing audio correctly for you.
And you, though. That's the thing.
Well, it's doing it for you, which means I get to hear it.
Ah.
I have audio issues.
Ah, fair enough. Well, in any way, you started talking about your issues, and you lost me with that. So I'm going to say that's this week's context machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question. I'm going to hell. You can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And
hey, LinkedIn Jobs, thank you for being our sponsor this week.
Yeah. Thank you very much, LinkedIn Jobs. And that is all for this week.
Now I have to go pour out my water so I can get my D8 back.